Okay. Good. So we'll just take a deep breath and get started today. And I needed to do that a half hour ago when I went to my printer to get my notes for this talk that I've been working on for 2 weeks and realized that my printer ink has started to skip like every other line. So I have 7 pages of notes that I can't read much of. And I am going to do my best to trust that everything's unfolding for good and that the part that I can read is the part that you guys need to hear. And fortunately, I did put the page numbers on the chapter quotes so I can go to the book, The Philosophy of Ernest Holmes, that we're studying right now. And we're looking this month at religious science and man's great ideas. And I'm kicking this off, and Reverend Maria in 2 weeks is going to also talk about man's greatest ideas. So we have a couple of opportunities to expand our thoughts and all that is unfolding. And I'm excited about that. So, as I was reading this chapter, there were a number of things that stood out to me. The first was when Ernest said, "Religious science is not a revelation that I had. It is well that it is so, that we are this way and remain rational human beings. Dispassionately, but with feeling, able to study the great thought of the ages." That felt really good to me. The focus on remaining rational human beings, because I've been thinking a lot about a quote from Abraham where they talked about looking for reasonable people working for the good of the whole. And this quote from Ernest really resonated with me about how religious science is about reasonable people working for the good of the whole. The vision of the CSL community is a world that works for everyone. We are looking to see a world that works for the good of everyone, the good of the whole. In the chapter, Ernest went on to say, "As knowledge increases and contemplation broadens its base, it may deepen its perspective, and it will at the same time heighten the apex of its receptivity. Values will change. While living in the same universe, we will discover we're living in a different one, but it's attached to the same one. If we look at one of the great thinkers, we will not discover as much truth as we would if we looked at all of them." And then he talks about how he's always reading 6 books at one time, so he doesn't get caught up in a single way of thinking. And he said, "I find in each one what Lowell called that thread of all sustaining beauty that runs through all and does unite all." And then he talked about the book Cosmic Consciousness by Buck. And he said that he talked about four main threads throughout what he studied as cosmic consciousness, a consistent belief in immortality, a consciousness of absolute unity or oneness, a realization that everything is in the process of evolution, and a consciousness that there is no fundamental, basic, essential entity of evil in the universe. And the other day, I saw a really interesting quote, and I didn't write it down, so I can't tell you who said it this time, but it has been discussed in a lot of different places, that good and evil is like light and dark and heat and cold. There are degrees of heat, but there are no degrees of cold. So cold is lesser degrees of heat. There is light, and dark is lesser degrees of light. And good, evil appears as lesser degrees of good. And that reminded me of this idea of degrees and how we look at things in ways that change as our frequency change. And you'll remember that I often talk about the map of human consciousness and power versus force, where he talks about shame and grief and guilt at the bottom, and then it moves up into anger and pride. And there is a shift when you get to courage, that you're opening to more possibility, and then non-judgment and acceptance and reason and love. And above that is bliss and joy and the expansion of higher consciousness. And that the world looks different from all of these places that you can stand. And so it's not that there's one answer. And I had a quote from Nietzsche who said, "You have your way, I have my way. As for the right way, the correct way, and the only way, it does not exist." There is not one single answer that makes everything right. There are many, many answers at many, many levels, and what looks like the right answer at one level will look like the wrong answer at another level. And that we as focusers must continue to choose. And I, this week, came across a quote from my book, Chatting with the Beloved, the first one, where I said, "I want to talk to you about a quote, B. It's from Seeing Nature by Paul Kraffel. He said, begin the work, even though you cannot see the path by which this work can lead to your goal. Do not block your power with your current understanding." And that really caught my attention. And B said, "Beloved," who I talked to, and he said, "Good quote, C." I said, "Please talk more about the last line. Do not block your power with your current understanding." And I said, "What power do I have, B?" And they said, "The power of love, the power of divine guidance, the power of willingness and imagination, the power of choice and focus, the power of infinite possibilities." And Anne-Marie, I'd invite you to mute because you're getting on the recording. Thank you.
Okay.
B said, "You have so much power, and as usual, we are talking to all of you as well as you." I said, "I can feel something in all of these ideas, but I don't really understand." And B said, "Exactly, that's the power of this quote. Don't block your power with your current understanding." And I said, "Argh, B, I don't understand how to do that." And this is what they said: breathe, relax, allow, trust, imagine, enjoy, appreciate, love, be grateful for, sing, dance, bounce, skip, laugh, delight in, savor, bask, meditate, wonder, wander, and give thanks. I said, okay, you are right. I do know how to do all those things, and I even understand their importance to a certain degree. They said, of course you do. We are step by step, day by day, leading you to greater understanding. But you will never see from your local perspective the bigger picture we can see. So you're beginning the work when you can't see the end result is an act of trust and allowing. Ernest Holmes said, everything that is of the nature of limitation is but the limitless flowing through us at the level of our acceptance of life. So we are working on expanding our acceptance of life. What is life? Life is God. Life is love and peace and grace and power and energy and wholeness and health and abundance and joy. Life is God, and God is love. In this chapter, Ernest quotes Aurobindo saying, transcendence doesn't reconcile, it transmutes. It's like you can't fix the problem. You have to see the solution and open to the possibility of the solution. Ernest also said, there is nothing to disintegrate or reintegrate it, but only that to be revealed which has always been whole. There is a wholeness that sometimes we are blinded to. My visions told me, move beyond the filter of fear and consciously choose to see through a filter of grace. And we do that incrementally. As our frequency raises, the vision expands and we see from a broader perspective. But as Beloved said, we'll never see all that they can see. There is always the possibility for this expansion and this evolution. And it's a powerful and wonderful thing that we are never limited. We are always potentially able to expand. Ernest quoted Walt Whitman saying, at the center of everything nestles the seed of perfection. There is beauty and harmony and grace here. And if we don't see it yet, we are not yet seeing clearly. And as I was talking to Beloved, we have to take the first step that we can see. What is the step we can see? We won't see the end from the beginning. We have to choose to trust and follow our guidance. Follow our guidance. And I just was focused for the last couple of weeks on finding my way to seeing what's happening in our country from a broader perspective. Reverend Maria helped me. She said, it's like, we talked about this for an hour on Wednesday. She said, it's like the cocoon, the caterpillar dissolving itself into goo in the cocoon before the butterfly emerges. There is this period of transformation when something new is coming. I spent the morning exploring people's ideas who I appreciate. And Maria Shriver sends out a paper on Sunday morning that I look at every week. She's from the Kennedy family, and she grew up in a very political family, and she continues to be broadly aware of what's happening in our country. And she said, I feel like our country is going through labor right now in its own way. It is struggling in real time, and yet I believe its future will be beautiful. I believe it will be more open, more gracious, and more whole. Our country is asking for all of us to pay attention and help it become what it can be. It's asking us not to give up, but to step up. And I have been hearing that. I've been looking for people who are talking about what's going on and looking for glimmers of hope and optimism. And I've heard several people say, stop worrying and start working. And I appreciate that so much. I think that's really good advice. But what I'm saying today is stop worrying, raise your vibration, open to inspiration, and then work. Take the first step of raising your vibration, coming it to alignment, connecting to source. A friend of mine is here, a Goodman, is a wonderful contemporary thinker who runs a nature conservancy in Costa Rica that focuses on dolphins and whales. She's remarkable, and I love her. And she said this morning, when you worry, you're focusing on what you don't want to happen. You're taking away possibilities of things working out differently. Instead of wasting your precious time on worrying, turn your thoughts to the very best possible outcome. Think about all that can go right, not about what can go wrong. After all, you usually get what you expect, so expect the best. Now, what I'm doing is not exactly what Ernest Holmes recommended, reading old material. I'm reading people who are dealing with the same thoughts and experiences and news reports and things happening that feel chaotic to me. So I'm looking for people in today's world that are talking about where to look that feels better, that feels connected. And for the last month, I've been working with a quote from Abraham Hicks from 2012, where Abraham said, don't use your opinions as clubs to hurt other people. Don't use your opinions to prove the wrongness of their opinions. Use your opinions as information to help you determine what feels better. What would feel better than this? What would feel better than government in quagmire? A cooperative government. What would feel better than a government refusing to be logical because the quest to push against the opposition has become the most important thing? What would feel better than that? Reasonable people working for the good of the whole. Wouldn't that feel better? Do you have the ability to imagine reasonable people working for the good of the whole? Or do you only have the ability to observe a government in quagmire? If you have the ability to reserve reasonable people who are working for the good of the whole, then some of them who are there already, reasonable people working for the good of the whole, will come into your awareness as evidence of what you're reaching for. You don't need consensus for millions or billions. You only need consensus of your vibration here and now and what's in your vortex. And friends, we want to tell you that consensus is easy to accomplish. But in order to accomplish it, these are the things we recommend, we assign to you here and now. These are the things you need to do. Play more. Go outside more. Quiet your mind. Move your body. Drink more water. Make lists of positive aspects. But most of all, you need to give yourself a break. We want you to discover that you can have an existing government and feel good. You can live in a world that has some chaos going on and feel good when you discover you have the individual personal power to feel good regardless of the conditions. And then you will have mastered unconditional love. When you master unconditional love, the conditions must change. You can single-handedly solve any problem of your own and positively influence any problem that exists anywhere in the vicinity of your awareness. You don't need the consensus of the world. You don't need political votes. You don't need to influence other people. You just need to discover the power of your aligned leverage. Alignment and leverage. What is that? What is that? And Abraham also said this quote, "To train your vibration to love is freedom. To train your vibration there, do it with easy things first. Cats, dogs, children's babies, pick the easy stuff. Let them help you train your vibration. Train it into love, train it into alignment. And before you know it, you will be the one who lives unconditional love. And then you will be a true uplifter and healer. Sick people will walk by you and you'll say hi and they'll feel better. Confused people will walk by and you'll give them your attention and they suddenly have a moment of clarity. You have that power of influence. You have that power of influence when you're in alignment. And so coming into that place of alignment and then asking yourself, what is mine to do? Go beyond. How can I see reasonable people working for the good of the whole? And ask yourself, how can I be a reasonable person working for the good of the whole? And Beloved always says, you don't have to create something you're not. It's up to you to perceive what you already are. You are already a reasonable people. Will work. I am already a reasonable person working for the good of the whole. And look for all the places in your life where you're uplifting, where you're contributing, where you're donating your time, talent, and energy to that which inspires you. And in that way, you are already one of the reasonable people working for the good of the whole. And as you start to get that idea, I am surrounded, in fact, by reasonable people working for the good of the whole. As you drive down the street in traffic and everyone stops at the red light, you see that you are indeed surrounded by reasonable people working for the good of the whole. The vast majority of what's happening is reasonable people working for the good of the whole. There's food on the shelves in the grocery store. People are finding ways to get healthcare. People are finding jobs. The unemployment rate is the lowest it's been in many years. There are new jobs being created. The economy is booming in 100 different ways. I went out to dinner with some people on Wednesday night, and before I went, I set my intention with Reverend Maria to be an uplifting influence in that conversation. And I took with me an article I found of 10 different metrics that say the United States is doing beautifully. And I read the 10 items that said things are better now than they were 4 years ago. Things continue to improve. And there are ways that we can look and find our trust that things can continue to improve. And this morning, when I was contemplating this idea, I remembered a conversation I had with a beloved where they said, don't ask what if things are getting better. Ask, I wonder how things are getting better. I wonder what things are about to get better. I wonder how I can help things get better. I wonder what I could do to make this day better for someone or for lots of people. I go to the park every morning and take pictures of birds because it uplifts people when I post them on Facebook. And they tell me, they come to my Facebook page with their coffee in the morning because it lessens their anxiety. There is so much that is normal and natural and logical and rational and inspired in what we're already doing. And that's my message today. Let's look at ourselves and the people around us as reasonable people working for the good of the whole, and discover all the ways that we can see it already in our world, all the ways that are unfolding around us that make it better and better, all of the people who are representing that energy, and we can send love and light to those people. If we're inspired, we can donate to causes or energies or campaigns that inspire us. We can volunteer time and talent to work for the good of the whole in 1,000 different ways. Any one of them could be good. And we get to choose each day how we contribute to the good of the whole country, the whole world, to our neighborhood. I take snacks to lifeguards every day, and I volunteer to drive them home because I bought a bike rack for my car 10 years ago to make sure that my lifeguards who were watching my life every day didn't have to drive home or ride home on their bikes in thunderstorms. What can we do? So many things every day that we can choose to do. So I invite you, as you move forward during this year, as things continue to unfold, that you look for the reasonable people working for the good of the whole, and you raise your vibration before you take action. And that action will come from a meaningful, inspired, and uplifting place. I didn't cry. That's what I had to say today. And thank you for inspiring me with all that I can do. And so it is.
And so it is.
Thank you,
so Connie. Is. That was the
Thank
most
you, Connie.
Timely.
Thank you. I needed to hear that.
Awesome.